Hello, 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 my fellow muscle builders, wrestling enthusiasts, and grappler apologists. You are listening to the only podcast filled with zoner-centric commentators. I am one of your two grappler haters, the Purple Sharpie, and I am joined by...
the best neutral and rushdown player you'll ever meet, Saki Sakura.
You hate to see it. You hate to see it. How you doing today, Saki?
I'm doing all right. You know, I'm vibing with Guilty Gear at the time of this recording. It's a week before Evo. I'm chilling.
Yeah, I get that. You know, we have a lot of news to handle and deal with today. Why don't you go ahead and get us started off the proper way, Saki?
All right, so listen up, everyone. We got news galore, okay? So I got to see this live in the arena when this happened, but Hunter x Hunter has come out with the new latest characters that will be joining their roster, starting with Machi and Vulgan and... Crollo. I was almost about to say Cholo, by the way. But it's Crollo, Bisky, which were both. So Machi and Vulgan was actually revealed through CEO, which is why I mentioned that I was actually live in the arena seeing that. That was really cool. And then Crollo and Bisky were actually revealed during Anime Expo. Now, first and foremost, there has been more news just pouring right now for Hunter x Hunter, which is Sharpie, amazing, because we've been talking about how, especially from previous episodes, which, by the way, make sure you're subbed and you're listening to all of our channels with Spotify, YouTube, the whole nine yards, okay? Because you don't want to miss episodes. Yeah. But we were talking about previous episodes on how important it is to be covering Hunter x Hunter and then x Impact.
Yeah, I actually believe we kind of talked about how important like anime games are, especially anime recreation games are for the genre, even if they're not specifically like our personal favorite anime, just because it's really important that as traditional fighting game players, we focus on highlighting fighting games that come out of the anime genre that aren't by default just arena fighters. I think that's what we were talking about. Sound correct to you, Saki?
That is correct. And you actually, I'm so glad you mentioned it. So during Anime Expo, a lot of people were really hyped to hear about a new Bleach game, right? Mm-hmm. And this is one of the reasons why, like, when people ask me, hey, Saki, you didn't even see the Hunter x Hunter. Why are you so interested? And I'm like, because I don't want to see a cool IP like Bleach have to go through another arena iteration. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Bleach, I believe Reaper of Souls, if I'm not mistaken, was announced at Anime Expo under Bandai Namco, and it's an arena fighter. Mm. And it looks cool, don't get me wrong, but that's not what as we fighting game players want. And I feel like Arxis has always known that. That's, I mean, look at the original Sailor Moon fighting game, right?
Dragon
that
was Ball Arxis. Fighters, you know?
Dragon Ball Fighters, exactly. And that's under Bandai. And yep. Bandai's like, here, do what you will. And we will continue to make Tenkaichi and these other games. And that's totally fine. But the core, I feel like, market of fighting game players that love anime, this is what we want to see. Now, for me personally, I just want to mention that I am looking forward to playing as Machi and as Crollo as part of my team. And Sharpie, before I mention my third character, I want to kind of see what you would want on your team.
So as of right now, there aren't any big characters that I really run inside of to play right now, except for who's the chain dude? I keep forgetting his name. I think it starts with a P. Poco something, you know, the little dude who hates the spiders. Popo. You know, I really want to play with him on the team. I feel like he would be really fun. And he just feels like a heavy CC type of character, you know, like a heavy setup pressure character. And I love those types. Like everyone's memed on me recently about like how I really am excited for Illaoi inside of 2XKO. And, but because she's a grappler, but like, also, she seems like really heavy setup pressure, you know? And that's like, I play Ramathal, I play Eliza, I play these characters that control that space. And inside of, you know, JoJo's, I played Mariah. Like, she's fun. So I'm really excited to play characters like that inside of this game. And he kind of seems like that to me personally.
That makes sense. That definitely makes sense. And for those of you who are at home and you're also interested in this form of news with Hunter x Hunter, there has actually been more gameplay. In fact, Anime Expo, they had setups there. They didn't allow recording. And one of the reasons was because of this particular character that we're going to be seeing pretty shortly. It's going to be exciting. There's more gameplay coming out, but let's talk about Phaeton. Now, Phaeton was actually accidentally revealed earlier than intended. And that was because in Krollo's trailer at the intro, you actually see Phaeton part of the team. And everybody was like, yeah, that looks like he's part of the team. And great to know to see it as well, because look, I think that one, that's going to be my third character for sure. I love the umbrella into like the short katana and just the dark energy and like the install going into everything, and it's like, what's happening right now? And that was, I feel like, big highlights here for what we're looking to expect. Now, we've mentioned before too, Hunter x Hunter is an anime that there's not really a lot of characters, so we're not going to be looking at a big of a roster like, for example, King of Fighters,
yeah,
or even Marvel versus Capcom. But so far, everybody looks pretty cool.
Here's some sponsored content, because we got bills to pay. This next game, pay to be on the cast today.
Hey all, Sharpie here, just one of your two members of that favorite podcast that you happen to have, FGC Cast, here with our very first sponsored opportunity. We actually decided to go ahead and collaborate with Mighty EL to showcase their latest project. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with Mighty EL, they actually created a project that I really, really love called The Big Con. It's basically a game that talks about when or when it's not ethical to steal. And to be honest, it's always ethical to steal, which is why I love that game. But this new project is not that game. This new project is called All Systems Dance. It's a game where automation is not the answer and dance is the key to disruption. You basically play a person who is trying to use expressive joy to free themselves from the tech-driven smart city by literally taking over these robots and reprogramming them through the power of dance. You get to feel the music, express yourself, and join the music, which will not be choreographed. I believe we have a trailer here. Let's go ahead and run it.
Welcome to Port Tomorrow, a perfect place for every Woosh citizen to work, socialize, and relax. We here at Woosh have thought of everything so you never have to do anything.
Don't believe their marketing and don't believe their messaging. This is the face of Woosh. Look around. We are all trapped here on this island. We are being watched and we have to fight back. I know they outnumber us, but we've discovered their weakness. Their weakness is dance. Dance reprograms them. Dance makes them see us as more than just a number on a spreadsheet. You have to dance. You have to dance like your life depends on it. Take back control, free yourself, and feel the movement. The revolution will not be choreographed.
Me personally, I'm very excited for this game. It looks super cute. I want to get my hands on it, and I believe we're going to have even more gameplay exclusively on our podcast showing off how this game's going to work. And I really hope, especially if you guys like this game and you guys think it's really cute, you guys think it looks fun, and you'd like to support an indie dev that's doing amazing things inside of the community, you go ahead and wishlist it. You can go over to asd.fgcast.com to support the game developers and wishlist the game on Steam. It really does help small indie teams like this, and it's the best way to move forward, I feel, inside of an ethical way inside of this video game space during late stage capitalism. Well, that's going to do it for this segment. Let's take y'all back over to FG Cast for even more of the podcast right now. I just want to say it's such a shame, Saki, that you are actually a sword character lover. Like, I had high hopes for you, truthfully. You want to play Yasuo. You want to play this new sword character. What am I going to... I don't know if we can actually be friends.
So, dude, would you be upset if I told you, Sharpie,
yes.
That the reason why I like Thresh is because he has a sickle?
Everybody, we have come to the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. No, I'm joking. It's okay. It's okay that you like Thresh, because what did he do besides, you know, capturing the only black woman in League of Legends inside of a lantern? What did he do?
She got out. She returned back to her husband. She still kicked my butt.
It's so crazy. No, I feel it. It's fine, because honestly, like, I feel like if Lucian or, well, we have 2XK news, 2XKO news later, but I will say it makes sense. Like, Saki, you have a certain style of gameplay. I have a certain style of gameplay, but ultimately we both come together because we both love fighting games, specifically anime and indie fighting games, one of which actually had a brand new character specifically announced earlier today. Is that correct? No, but before we go into the new character, let's actually get into some of the exclusive Guilty Gear news. Let's talk about that really quickly, because I know that is something that has been absolutely blowing everyone's mind these last couple of days.
Yes. So first and foremost, we have news of the Guilty Gear Strive anime. Now, this was first announced before Anime Expo was coming, was going to be happening in Los Angeles. And we were actually going to find out more about the anime at Anime Expo. Now, I want to give a shout out to Danny Mata, first and foremost, for hosting the panel with Arxis both days. I've actually gotten to know Danny through TikTok videos and through his Has-Been Hotel videos. He is an amazing content creator, and I thought it was like the perfect bridge between fighting game and bringing the anime into the mix, right? Because this is actually huge. First and foremost, when we look at Guilty Gear has always been this niche game, right, Sharpie? And when it comes to lore, it's not as simple as anybody can tell you it is, right? Especially Guilty Gear fans. We will convolute all of the like lines of theory and lore to like make it to the end of what we know of Guilty Gear Strive. And what's huge about this is anime has become more mainstream. You know, shout outs to Megan Thee Stallion for also like really showing that black nerd girls, by the way, are thriving and should be proud of themselves. Yes! And we're getting to see this like bridge between Guilty Gear, which was this niche fighting game that even even the president at the time, way back when, was like, this is not good for the children. And we have now this anime. And Sharpie, before we talk more about the anime itself, what are your thoughts? Because you've been in the fighting game scene longer than I have. Yeah, so this must be like monumental for you.
You know, honestly, I think this all goes back to like when we first saw that Tekken anime come out. You know, like that was a really big precursor. And that was back when Yohozi was on the podcast. But the thing I remember about that moment was the fact that like we had such a huge opportunity to showcase like the best of our community in a format that's now widely accepted as like mainstream. You know, and I think Guilty Gear is even more important, specifically because Guilty Gear is one of like, It's an anime fighting game, first and foremost, right? It is one of those legacy fighting games. Like, people like Spooky came up playing games like Guilty Gear, games like Melty Blood. You know, like, this is the core of the fighting game, and this isn't something that people think a lot about when they think of fighting games. People usually think of Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat. And so I think that this opportunity for not just Guilty Gear, but anime fighters as a whole is going to be huge for a lot of the fighting game scene, specifically the anime fighting game scene. And I'm just really, really excited about the opportunity. You know, it also makes me, really tantalizingly like hungry for a Skullgirls anime. We have a web series. We have a little like webisode, you know, comic book series, but God, I want an anime so bad, dude. I want animated Eliza like decapitating Miss Fortune so badly.
Oh
dude.
My.
No, it's dark, dude. It's dark. It's dark and I love it. It's like cringy dark, you know? Like it's cringy dark in the same way that you like sword characters like Yasuo.
This Yasuo slander. Wait till 2X KO Alpha Lab comes out, Charby.
I will not.
But going back to, you mentioned something really important, Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat. Now, this is something I want to really quickly cover before we talk about like who's involved and everything. These are studios that are picking up these IPs. Netflix picked up Tekken, and now the people who are behind animating this anime, which is Sanzigan, that they're the same people who did the anniversary music video. Mm. This is not just like you know their own IPs, because like I obviously there's Mortal Kombat animated movies,
yeah,
but that's Warner Brothers and that's their own IP. They can do that. They have the funds to do that. We're talking about literally taking legacy fighting games, and again, Capcom is also in that same boat, because they also work with different studios that are very much having the funds to create. Like, look at all the Resident Evil movies. Look at even the Street Fighter movies when growing up, and there was even already an animated show for them. You know,
it was bad, but there was one.
It existed. And that's the important part.
That was the bar.
And now we get to see, you know, Guilty Gear. And again, I feel like this is more of a further proof of my test case. Those of you who play Asuka, you should get that that pun right there. Further proof in my test case that Guilty Gear Strive is going to be considered one of the big three in some future. In my future, for sure, but in other people's futures very, very soon. But let's talk about the people who are going to voice these characters. So we do have a new character that's going to be introduced in Guilty Gear Strive Dual Rulers, and that is going to be Unika, voiced by Yui Ishikawa. You know, here are some words right here, just basically explaining, like, Unika's character is a very mysterious character. She learned about her before any of the recording, and there's a lot about her that even Yui doesn't understand, but she's looking forward to every recording session as it's an opportunity to see new facets of her and how she's involved with the story. Again, this is a brand new character for Guilty Gear Universe. And then moving on, the other two showrunners include Soul Bad Guy, who was actually Frederick after the Guilty Gear Strive ending from the game. We have Joji Nakata, who is actually pretty much voicing like, hey, I'm sure you all felt the same, but I didn't expect an anime was on the way after thinking Soul Story came to an end in Strive, and with the original members too. And then there, of course, there's a few more words, but then we also include Sin Kisuke's voice actor. That's right. Sin's the second person that's going to be the main character. Actually, technically, Soul's the second person. Sin's the main protagonist. Uh-huh. And we have Issei Miyazaki, who also gave up some words as well. Let me be the ultimate Sin Kisuke I can just for this recording. That's all I ask. Aww. And it's awesome to see these already just the top three characters and their voice actors as well.
That's cute. I think we have one final slide here. Saki, you want to prep us for it?
Yes, I do. And of course, we need to hear from Lord Daisuke himself, our Lord and Savior for Guilty Gear. An anime. It's like a dream. Finally, at long last, Guilty Gear will get an anime adaptation. And of course, he expresses his deep gratitude for being able to work on this amazing project. And he even mentions, even I don't really know how the characters and setting of Guilty Gear will play in this production. Mm. So he is truly looking forward to it. Lord Daisuke, thank you first for making such an amazing, amazing IP. And honestly, secondly, I am ready to be simping over some anime on G.
I can tell, like, it was really funny going through the comments for this thread on YouTube, on Twitter, where it was originally posted, because some of the comments were just commenting on how the characters looked very similar to, like, the pictures of the voice actors' energy, you know? And I'm personally especially after reading and hearing you explain a lot of the comments and intentions behind the actors and the creators for this series, I'm personally very, very excited for this series, to be very candid with you here, Saki. I don't know what the future has in hold for this series. I don't know if this is going to turn into one of those episodic things that has a couple of series and then a movie, you know, a couple of seasons and then a movie, but I'm really hopeful for you guys. And I'm really, congratulations again to the Guilty Gear community. You guys are eaten fantastically these last couple of months, dude.
Shout outs to also being able to be another year in our fourth year, 2K plus entrance at Evo.
So let's go.
That's pretty hype. Let me tell you.
You know what's funny about that, Saki, is that you actually had a moment where you got very visibly hype over this. The video, this full video is actually available right now on your YouTube. If you go to Saki Sakura right now on YouTube, or if you go over to Saki Sakura TV, that is her otaku account, where she also discusses even more anime weeb stuff that you may be wanting to fixate on, but I believe this one's actually on your main channel, Saki Sakura. You actually post a reaction that kind of blew my mind a little bit, and I'm not gonna focus on it because I want to leave something up to the imagination, but I gotta ask you here, Saki, as someone who's been simping for many Guilty Gear characters for a very long time, what can we expect from your reaction video that should make us tune in here?
I think you'll see a true Guilty Gear fan enjoying seeing it come to life. It's very similar to, because I love Nier Automata. And so when we found out that that was going to be an anime, that was like a huge moment for us, right? and it became, it's actually one of the most important animes that Aniplex, which is a studio that, or rather production studio that covers a lot of anime, it's one of their biggest brands at the moment. And for me, for those of you watching and listening, even if Guilty Gear Strive was my first game in the Guilty Gear series, you will see the passion of a Guilty Gear fan. Mm. And I feel like everyone that watches it will feel that way too.
Beautiful. Beautiful stuff. You guys definitely tune in. Subscribe to Saki's YouTube channel if you've not already. It not only supports her, but also helps build our podcast and our future projects, which we are trying to both do together. So, Saki, without any further ado, let's move up to the very next bit of news here on the docket. You want to go ahead and take it away?
Yes, absolutely. So this next bit of news, now we've always kind of found out that Undernight was going to have this DLC pass, right? We already kind of knew in advance who it was, but the first character in the DLC season pass for Undernight in Birth 2 is going to be Azuki. Now, first and foremost, her theme is a bop.
Like, no, honestly, I want to interject here and just say, while I was literally getting the footage ready for this specific like episode today, I actually had an opportunity because Saki was like, oh, I really wish we could have used her theme song music. Because, you know, we have a conversation before every single cast about what background music we're going to be using. A lot of thought goes into it. And we wanted to actually use hers, but nothing was publicly available. And it kind of goes. So I do highly, highly, highly recommend, if you've not already, checking out the official Melty or the official Team French Bread YouTube channel and just listening to the music. It does have all the sound effects as of the time of this recording, July 12th, but I'm sure they'll have an audio only version of it available soon.
Of course. Even the music director was like, we're coming with new music. I promise. Just give us a minute. We gotta let this cook a little bit. No, for reals though, Azuki looks really cool. And one of the things that even I was thinking about when I saw her trailer is I love Undernight. I haven't found the character that I've necessarily meshed well with. And that is simply because a lot of those characters, they came from the first game. Mm-hmm. And despite, you know, Undernight 2 changing many things in the game, wasn't really something that I was able to really click with. Azuki's actually one that I'm like, you know what? I really like the whole like throwing skeletons, riding on a dolphin skeleton, throwing people into coffins because she's a necromancer. So, you know, I like it. I'm here for it. Plus, she has like the cute little bats that are skeletal bats.
Looking like cherry blossoms. I think it's really funny, Saki, because once again, you did a reaction video to this. this. And this reaction video right here is just like, it's such a you character. Like, Saki, I know it's tough right here, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to blow up this moment right now. Once again, no huge spoilers, but this was the peak moment of Saki's reaction. Look at her face. Look at the pure bliss on Saki's face here. Saki, I know you don't make stuff up for these reaction videos.
No, I really try not to. If I don't redo a reaction video, it's because I already saw it and I can't mimic that reaction. Yeah. That's like my motto, right? Yeah. Like, I still have to do the Hunter x Hunter, and I'm like, I'm going to go into it with like a more analytical, because I've already seen the trailers for them, right? But in that specific screenshot or screen blow up Sharpie, I was actually so happy because of the music.
You were reacting in that exact moment, because it was like literally, I think, like about 45 seconds into the video, and you were just so hyped for the music. I think the exact thing out of your mouth is like, literally you start bobbing your head to your music and you're like, this is great. And I'm just like, okay, Saki, you got me too, bitch.
Yeah, most definitely. And you know, once again, we all already kind of know the DLC characters for Under Night 2, mm-hmm. because it was revealed. The release dates for many of these characters are very much like super far in between. Because again, with French Bread Games, they're a little bit smaller than the other developers that we tend to
cover. They are an independent team. They are, I believe, made up of like sub 15 people, I think. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. So being able to actually see this trailer, she's going to be playable at Evo. So I'm going to try to see if I can get footage so that we can cover it on like my channels. But more than anything, what I really liked is we're still seeing new stuff from Under Night. And Sharpie, you even mentioned French Bread is eating this year. Yeah,
they are. They really are. As a matter of fact, one of the things I do want to actually go ahead and ask our audience here as a prompt, because I know we have people that are listening not only on YouTube, but also on Spotify. And for the very first time, Spotify has actively added comment sections. So listeners, I want to ask you, are you going to Evo 2024? And if so, do you happen to be interested in this new character coming out for Under Night 2? Let us know. Yes or no, and let us know why. Would absolutely love to go ahead and respond to that on the very next episode that we record next week, which will be the Evo episode. So really looking forward to reading your answers exclusively off Spotify comments this time around. We will be answering some YouTube comments, but we can't promise anything as of right now. And Saki, I want to just go ahead and add, is there anything you want to ask our viewers on this specific topic as well?
Yeah, I would love to see I would love to ask you, like, what are your thoughts about her song when she comes out?
Yeah. Yeah. Should we specifically let me know if you're going to be at Evo, if you are going to be interested in Under Night 2 and playing this new character. And three, let me and Saki know if we should use her music for the very next episode, which is the big Evo episode that we do. Now, I want to remind all of our listeners and our viewers that the Evo episode is one of the biggest episodes of the podcast that we do every single year. We have exclusive things that we only showcase during the Evo episodes. In fact, last year when I did this with Yahozi, the episode after Evo, we actually had an exclusive look for the very first time at 2XKO. And I was able to do kind of like a pseudo developer interview with her talking about the state of 2XKO. So our Evo episodes are very, very important. We put a lot of time and energy into prepping for them, and we try to give you guys something exclusive that if you are new inside the community, or maybe even if you're an old head inside of this community, you've been inside the fighting game community for a while, you understand why Evo is the Super Bowl of fighting games. Saki, once again, I want to give you an opportunity to add anything there.
Push a lot of buttons, try to not drown in pools, and yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you guys, let's get into arguably one of the best things to have ever been added inside of fighting games ever, 2XKO. That's right. Wait a second. This is the wrong video. We actually have some exclusive news here, and not very exclusive. It's a little bit late, but we actually have some news about 2XKO. As a matter of fact, Braum is now officially inside of the game. That's right. The Freljord champion, for those of you who do not know, allow Maui's flame, one of the only one who was able to make his heart have the biggest smile on the Rift. Braum is inside of this game, and I'm incredibly personally excited. As an Alawi fan, as someone who plays League of Legends excessively, I can't tell you how happy this personally made me as announcements, except for the fact that I can actually go ahead and show you. As a matter of fact, I went ahead and reacted to this specific reaction on Twitter with a video, which then proceeded to be reacted by the official 2XKO Twitter account, like the official one. And then Saki did her own little reaction to it. And I'm just going to go ahead and move it over here so you can see her face. Do you see how excited this girlie is? Now, Saki, I got to ask, why were you so excited about this specific video? Talk to us, you know, talk to us about Braum.
That was not the look of excitement, Sharpie. That was a look of horror. And I'm going to tell you why. So actually, you know, I because the character trailer came out first.
Yeah.
For anyone wondering how like the timeline happened. And then the dev trailer with in-depth gameplay came out second, which, by the way, shout out to the 2XKO team for amazing like scripture and in-depth knowledge about the characters. Like, you know, looking at a trailer is one thing, but actually getting to hear like, here's what we were trying to intend with this character, and here's what makes this character good, and then what makes this character not good in certain situations that you want to look out for. And one of the biggest things that I really enjoyed is the fact that, like, I mentioned this in my reaction, Braum is the ultimate assist character. Mm-hmm. And I feel is like a great example of what 2XKO is trying to convey as a 2v2 game.
Yeah.
Right? We've always been talking about how, like, 2XKO, you know, originally was going to be like a 1v1 and then it became the 2v2. And then it's like, how do you mesh all of these characters with 2v2s? And we've kind of seen everybody kind of shine in their own light, per se. Everybody can kind of be like, yeah, I can mesh well with this person because my toolkit, I can survive on my own. I got a good assist and that's about it. With Braum, even the devs are like, yeah, so Braum is supposed to be your character that you throw out first, pull back, and then go ahead and take advantage of that ice shield because it'll already be buffed, right? Unbreakable. Like, that's all that Braum needs to start up a lot of the momentum that makes him him. And I love that we finally get to see a character that's like, yes, you can pick him up, but you better be paired with someone that you're going to communicate with and not some random in ranked.
On that level, I actually want to go ahead and kind of share a little bit here. One of the reasons why I'm personally so excited for Braum, and I kind of went over this on a video that I uploaded to my personal YouTube that kind of just like went over a little bit of Braum's lore in like 30 seconds or so. But Braum is actually like literally a big crush of Alawi. They are not like, you know, partners or lovers or anything like that. But Alawi wants Braum, because Alawi likes very, very strong men. And Braum likes Alawi, I think, as a friend. I don't know. They're not very clear on it, you know? But it's just one of those things where they definitely have chemistry together. And Braum and Alawi, you guys can tell from my outfit, I obviously really, really like Alawi. But Braum and Alawi is actually someone that me and my husband get very, very excited about. You can see we've actually had this custom art made of us. This was made, back like almost at this point now, like maybe around 7 years ago or so, six or seven years ago. Back when me and my now husband were only dating and we were just like, you know, doing stream content, and I wanted art of us together. He liked Alawi that was out in League of Legends. I'm a support main, so I played Braum, and I was like, well, then let's get art as Braum and Alawi. So he's in the Alawi garb and I'm in the Braum garb. You know, he likes strong men, I like strong women. It works out really, really well. By strong men, I mean my husband likes strong women. I also like strong women. So I was like, I like Alawi, I don't mind. You know? But it was just really, really like super nice to have a duo inside of the game that now I can play with someone who's not even super comfy with the League of Legends lore. Like, he doesn't know it the same way I do. But now, canonically, we have two characters that are both really, really strong together, even outside of, like, just their tool set, right? It completely ignoring their tool set, just in terms of story and lore. You have two big body, strong, grappling, muscled out characters that are just together and are fighting alongside each other. And are actually, like, also very romantically attracted to each other, canonically. This is exactly what I wanted to experience specifically with my husband. And I'm sure there are a lot of other people that are going to be playing this game with their partner, which is exactly what the developers have said before. That was their intention. Their intention is that you're able to play with your friend. You're able to play with your partner. You're able to play with your family members and you're able to feel like a unit. But the addition of Braum inside of this game after the announcement of Illaoi and Yasuo tells me that the developers are actively thinking about different types of relationships and different types of teams that they can create between the characters inside of this game. That's what I am super duper happy about Braum for. Also, the Poros. Like, just truthfully, these freaking Poros right here. Are you seeing these Poros? Saki, are you seeing? Let's just get a close up real quick of just the Poros, please. Production, thank you. Saki, do you see these Poros?
Them. I love them so much. Now, I want to make it very clear to you, Sharpie. And I'm going to make it clear to you. And I'm going to make it clear to all of our listeners and viewers, okay? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If I find out y'all hit me with a Poro, we're going to have issues.
Oh, yeah, okay? Y'all will play?
Right?
Oh, yeah,
yeah, we're yeah, gonna have yeah, issues then? We're going to have issues. You hit me with a Poro and combo off of me, we're going to have some pretty big issues.
Not if you still in hit stun, though. You can't do nothing about it if you in hit stun. See that? See that right listen, there? You in hit stun.
Just because you put me in hit stun and in a crumpled steak, or if I'm jumping and you throw a pour at me, doesn't mean I want to not wake up DP.
That's fair. That's fair. No, but in all seriousness, like, I am really excited about the state of the game. I do want to go ahead and comment a little bit more about the different type of combinations that we may think we're getting here. We got a really good showcase, truthfully. This developer showcase here is really, really good. I'm actually going to go ahead and let this play just for a second, because I think this was your favorite section here too, Saki. Ari getting messed up. Yeah, Ari getting completely and totally messed up there. We love to see it. Oh, here's mine. Yasuo getting messed up, bro. Yeah, default combos. Yes, thank you so much. I just want to thank whoever recorded this on the dev team. I just want to thank you for knowing that Yasuo deserves this. Absolutely.
Why?
In totality, yeah. No, don't say why. Don't say why. Don't say why to me.
Beat up Darius. That's a bigger problem than Yasuo.
Boo.
Oh my gosh. Okay. look, yes. There you go. You could beat Darius up. Not my husband. Come on.
A lot of people were also commenting inside of the Twitter thread in general about a lot of the setups that we're going to see specifically because of Braum's unbreakable wall, which is what his shield is. His shield is actually an unbreakable door that he grabbed off of an old ancient Freljordian vault that he now uses to protect people around him. Braum in and of himself, like, as a character, is not actually violent. He is a support character, and everything inside of his kit is only to protect the AD carry that he's creating. And they stayed very, very true to that inside of this game, which I felt was very, very nice, to be honest. I felt like all the characters they've come out with, they have been 100% true to the form that they first showcased with inside of the Rift or inside of Runeterra or inside of several versions. But I bring it up specifically because a lot of the comments that I saw inside of the original showcase of this character, where it was just like, you know, the little, what was it, like 1 minute long video where they just showed off his little trailer and everything. A lot of comments were like, I'm very excited for Braum and Ekko. And I mean, after you saw both of them beating up on Yasuo, you know why. You know, it's a nasty setup. But I want to ask really quickly, Saki, do you feel like Braum is going to be added on your team, or are you already kind of set with the characters that are in here? Is there anyone specifically that you feel will mesh very, very well specifically with Braum for you?
No, I obviously I'll Illaoi is a big one, just from straight from the footage that was captured.
Yeah.
I do feel that there is a lot of potential for, honestly, Ahri in this situation, in this pairing. Now, for me personally, I won't be adding him to my roster of characters that I play, but I know that the duo that I'm looking for to be like one of my permanent duos for the game, I believe he's also looking at Braum as well as a potential.
So what you're saying here, Saki, is that you're already theoretically labbing with a permanent duo right now. So you've given up on playing with me because I specifically said I'm not playing with any Oswald players.
I will play with you, but I'm also respectful of your partner and how they want to have you 24/7.
That's crazy.
So I am.
You're using my husband as an excuse to not play with me now?
I'm simply making sure that the gaps in which I do not have you, I have someone else.
That's what you're finding alternatives to me, Saki. I can't believe this. And what I also can't believe is that we have, dear viewer, come to the end of yet another episode of FGC Cast. I want to thank everybody for listening, and I also want to thank all of our Spotify listeners, especially for going ahead and leaving a comment this time around, because we are actively trying to make sure that we have activity on our Spotify links. You know, it's been a really, really good, in general, I want to say growth for us. I also want to thank everybody because we did have a sponsorship opportunity that you guys may have seen inside of one of our previous episodes. I actually think two episodes ago, we did a partnership specifically with Sony, otherwise known as PlayStation, where we talked about the days of play. And I just want to thank everybody because that was a very, very active episode for us, not only on Spotify, but a few of our other listening channels. So thank you so much, you guys, for making sure that you guys not only listened on YouTube or on Apple Music or on, Amazon Music, but that you guys also tuned in on Spotify, because that does help us get some capital to move on to future episodes and to put more production value into things. We are actively building out. In fact, there are certain segments that we're working on, which you guys may see during that EvoCast. So definitely stay tuned. Just wanted to thank you all there. Now, Saki, I gotta ask, you know, I've harped on you a lot as a sword player, but if for whatever reason someone is listening and they're thinking, you know what, this Saki person, she's all right, she has good mains, she has great taste in characters, where can I find out more of her?
You can find more of me at SakiSakuraTV.info, which is my website, has all of my links, including YouTube, Twitch, TikTok, which, by the way, we got to 9,000 on TikTok today. So we are so close to the 10K goal. If you're going to follow, please follow the TikTok. I would appreciate it very much. And of course, on Twitch and YouTube and Instagram. I'm actually cleaning up my Instagram as well.
Yeah, we are actually now officially on Instagram as well. And this will be the very first episode to actually be, I believe we're going to have some clips from some of the very first episodes we ever did of season 2, which is the very first episodes with you, Saki. We're going to have those on our Instagram literally the same day that this episode goes out. So if you're listening right now and you're like, hey, I want to support the podcast, I want to go ahead and make sure you guys keep growing. I want to make sure that you guys are able to do even more cool stuff with developers, with publishers, with video game and indie teams. Make sure you guys are following on Instagram. Make sure you guys are leaving some likes on not just the official FG Cast Instagram, but also Saki's Instagram. And thank you so much again for tuning in to FG Cast. Hey, guess what, gamers? We will see you offline.
Bye, Muse.